Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris and you're watching The Future is Female, the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. Now, joining us on the show tonight, we have two women who have been working to increase awareness for the rights and equality of people living with disabilities. One way they've been doing that is through Ebolympics, which is an international Olympics with ability, or Olympics of abilities, where qualified people of with disabilities from around the world pit their skills in cooking, photography, and floral arrangement, and so on. Now, the Ebolympics in Malaysia is coordinated by the Malaysian Council for Rehabilitation, or MCR, which is an NGO. And on the show, we welcome to the show Datin Paduka Khatija Sulaiman, who is the president of the Malaysian Council for Rehabilitation. She's also the chairman of the Ebolympics Malaysia Committee, as well as Rose Ng, who is honorary treasurer for MCR and vice chairman of the Ebolympics Malaysia Committee. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you very much.
It's lovely to have you here. And I have to say, I don't know much about the Ebolympics, and it's the first time that it's on my radar. I'm sure many other Malaysians have also not heard about this Olympics for abilities. Perhaps you can shed some light on what the Ebolympics is.
Ebolympics, actually, it is coined through the phrase of ability of persons with disabilities. And it is totally different from Paralympics or Special Olympics. We focus much more on the ability of a person. Mm. And it is also through vocational skills. Whatever skills that we have for people, person with disabilities can also do.
Okay, so vocational skills. So was I correct in saying that it would be, you know, skills of photography, cooking?
Besides vocational skills, we do have ICT skills.
Oh.
ICT skills and also leisure skills.
So like website design, for instance?
Yes.
Okay.
And flower arrangement, you know.
Leisure skills, yes. Okay. Okay, so talk to me about the scale of this, because it is almost at a globe. It is almost as though this is the similar level to the Olympics, right?
Yeah, we started in 1995. Malaysia participated in the Ebolympics in Perth. Somehow or other, we began to focus more and more on the competitions in empowering persons with disabilities to compete in the international level. Mm-hmm. So from then on, we started sending group of persons with disabilities to India, Japan, Korea, and 2016 was in France.
2016 was in France. So are we up for another Olympics this year?
Next year.
Oh, next year. Okay. All right.
It's supposed to be this year, but somehow or other, Russia confirmed the competition to be held next year, 2021, from 25th May for a week.
Okay. All right. And what about the Malaysian contingent this year, Rose? What do we know of the Malaysian contingent?
Well, the Malaysian they have actually completed their first round of training last year. Okay. And now to prepare them for Moscow, Russia in May 2021, we will be planning another round of training for them to enhance further their skills.
Do we have the same kind of participants who take part every year, or is this a fresh batch of contingent every
Yeah, we are very fortunate. They are giving us 4 years to work on. Mm-hmm. So the first year normally focus on the roadshows. So we travel around the country and meeting person with disabilities and giving them information on all the skills that they can participate. And for this batch, that is our 10th Ebolympics. We are very fortunate now that we are having younger group of people coming in. And also the fact is that it's being known from France that we got 4 medals. So the young people that are coming in now are from vocational schools, the colleges. So this is something very, very challenging for us.
So, 4 medals won in France in 2016. What did we win in?
We had a goal for studio photography.
Mm. Studio photography?
We had a silver for painting and a bronze each for web page design and silk art painting.
That is amazing. Okay, that's wonderful. So, how do you go about determining who can compete? So, it would probably be the Malaysian level competitions first that would then qualify for international Olympics.
We have it at the state level.
The
state level, they will send us the winners for the national level.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we will do the selection again for the national level for them to represent us. Okay. At the international.
And it would depend on what skills they have, so then they would be fielded in that specific competition.
But nevertheless, we have to have smart partnership because the training will be done by experts in the relevant field.
Oh.
So we are very fortunate to have LATSIAS that is under human resources on all the computers. And then we have UITM University, the faculty with the blessing of the director, the dean. And they give the whole faculty to work with us on sewing and photography. So we have to work smart because it is an NGO, so we don't have much funding. Mm.
So you need the facilities.
Collaboration, yes. Collaboration with them means they will prepare the guidelines for us, the venues, but we MCL will look into the accommodation, the traveling.
Okay. So you make it possible for these for people with disabilities to train and to get to participate in it, but with the work of smart partnerships. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back and learn a little bit more about Abilympics as well as the work that MCR is doing right here on The Future's Female. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to The Future's Female. I'm Melissa Idris. I'm speaking tonight to the good folks from the Malaysian Council for Rehabilitation, Dato' Khatijah Sulaiman, as well as Rose Ng. Now, the Abilympics, which is the Olympics of Abilities, is coordinated by MCR. Talk to me a little bit about, once you've identified the participants, so people with disabilities who have skills and they want to participate, how do they go through the training? Because I'm sure that there must be quite stringent training for them.
We leave it to the experts actually, because they have to follow certain SOP. And for example, for the 10th Abilympics, we focus on the French SOP. Nevertheless, we are going to receive another set of SOP by the host country, that's the Russians. So they will be giving us by end of this month, hopefully. That is why we are calling meeting to invite all the trainers and the instructors to sit down with us, and we will give them the new set of SOP.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it will be based on the SOPs.
Yes.
Rose?
And the new task assignments for each category of skills that is to be competed.
Okay. Why do you think that the international Abilympics competition doesn't quite have the same level of awareness or even, I guess, media coverage compared to, say, the Paralympics, for instance?
We, as an NGO, therefore, we are praying that at least for the 10th one, Ministry of Human Resources will be with us because we are focusing on skills.
Okay.
And they specialize in skills. They have skills for the world competition for able-bodied. So for the first time, they're recognizing us and we have been invited to sit into their board meetings.
Okay. It is important, I think, because, I mean, while Olympics and Paralympics is sports-based. I mean, this is really highlighting skills for people with disabilities. I'd like to talk a little bit about the work that the Malaysian Council for Rehabilitation is doing. How are you working with, say, the stakeholders to make sure that, you know, efforts like roadshows to recruit for Paralympics, like the rights of people with disabilities, are highlighted not just in the media or to employers, but also, you know, to the general public?
We are very, very blessed that we do have affiliated members all over the country. So we work closely with them, and they, of course, will reach right to the grassroots level. Mm-hmm. But we have to be consistently coming up with information and also working hand in hand with them, and also reaching out to the government, local council for support.
Okay.
It is a really, really a kind of collaborative effort.
Okay.
You know.
Who are some of the stakeholders that you consider important in making sure that the rights of people with disabilities are upheld, Rose? Who are the stakeholders? So I would say, you know, the government for sure,
the
but who else?
For sure. We have, for this Paralympic, we work with our strategic partners. We have UITM, mm-hmm. News Technology Malaysia. We work with SIAS, which is under the Human Resource Ministry. Mm-hmm. We also have the colleges, the community colleges, the polytechnics.
Okay. So are they young, the participants of Paralympics? Are they, or do they vary in age?
All levels.
So yeah. You would need parents, yes, families, yes. You know, community
that
stakeholders.
That is why,
as well.
Malaysian Council for Rehab, we never fail to organize conferences or workshops,
okay,
in which we have a team every 2 years. Last year, we had a very good one in which we had 2 days workshop because we were looking into certain amendments in Disability Act.
Huh?
So we have all the best people, the lawyers who are person with disabilities themselves. We even invited foreign speakers to share their background and the knowledge how to go about certain clauses.
What were you looking to amend in the Disabilities Act?
It was more or less enacted in 2008.
Mm.
Again, there are many clauses. We have to keep up with the latest time.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the person with disabilities feel that not much is for them. So we are in the progress. This year, we hope to get again another round of consultations with different people. And of course, we did last year submitted the resolutions to the government.
Okay.
And Selangor government even took the hint, and they also established a conference in which all the person with disabilities in Selangor were there to discuss on the matter.
Okay.
So we hope other states will follow through, you know.
Well, hopefully,
yes,
hopefully.
Yes.
It has to be a conversation,
yes,
that includes,
yes,
everyone, and hopefully there will,
yes,
be a bit of a spillover effect. Let's talk a little bit about that, about how to create a more inclusive Malaysia for people living with disabilities. Let's continue this conversation right here on The Future's Female. Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back. Welcome back to The Future's Female. I'm Melissa Idris. With me, Datuk Khatijah Sulaiman and Rose Ng from the Malaysian Council for Rehabilitation. Let's talk a little bit about how we can create a more inclusive Malaysia for people living with disabilities, particularly women, right? I'm just wondering whether the many challenges faced by people with disabilities, whether there is a gendered dimension to that, whether women face specific challenges. Datuk, would you like to weigh in?
Yes. In all my work with the community, I feel that women should be empowered. We should mention to them that everything is there for you.
Mm.
just go in, but you must be trained so that you will be at par with anybody for that matter, you know. So training is very, very important. And of course, for women with disabilities, they also voice out about accessibility. How can they go to work when resources not adequately done for them, like accessible toilet, ramp for wheelchair. So we are putting lots and lots of emphasis on these resources to be done. And in fact, the government is also giving special tax exemption for the old buildings to be renovated.
Okay, to be made accessible for people.
They are giving that, you know. Right.
What about other, so, you know, the deaf community is one, but you also work with the blind.
And also with slow learners. I have 13 years success stories in training the slow learners who have no transitional programs when they come up from school. So I bring them to our place and we give them 6 months training. Okay. We focus not on academic, it's on skills again. So skills that they can work in housekeeping in the hotel, laundry.
As long as it's that integration to society.
Yes, yes. And also we have to understand that they might not be able to be in the front, but there are always areas that we can show them they can do very well. So I'm working with slow learners. They call it learning disabilities, little bit of autistic, and also Downs, but they must be able to receive instructions. And we have experts, lecturers, and this is as an NGO initiative.
What do you think is missing from the conversation about the rights of people with disabilities? It's already a difficult conversation to have, one that we're not having often enough, but For the women, for both of you who are working in this area, trying to create more awareness, trying to create a more equitable Malaysia, what do you think we are forgetting to talk about as a society?
I think people must accept the fact that we should bring people with disabilities into the society. They have the right, actually, you know, but giving them the voices, you have to make things work. We cannot expect them and say that they are not included, but we are not giving opportunities or building resources to place them in job. No discrimination, because they are equally good.
Okay.
Like in our Abilympics, they rank world standard, but where are they?
Right.
I would like to see them being given businesses.
Opportunities, right?
Yes.
Financial assistance to help them to start up a business.
Yes, so perhaps a little bit more support in making them more visible.
Yes.
And with more visibility, perhaps other people with disabilities can say that, well, I see that is also an option for me.
But it has to start from small, I think. At the level where primary schools should be, you know, they must have what you call these areas where the children, they must be taught to recognize disabilities. And even for the teachers, must be trained in the syllabus of disabilities so that they will understand how to teach, you know, people with disabilities.
Do you think that that's not currently the case?
Well, they are progressive. I hope so.
Rose, you are in education, right? Especially for people with...
I think the key to ensuring their economic and social independence is education from a very young age.
Yes. All right, so making sure that they have access to education, giving them the right tools to be able to be independent.
Skills development.
Definitely.
And also the parents. Parents play important part. They must not reject that they, or even some of them do not want to admit, deny, you know, that they have special children. Mm. These children must be given opportunities, and that's what we are here for. Right. So we go around to the kampung and tell the parents, please give your children the opportunity so that they can be independent, financially independent. Most of our ex-students, past students, are doing very well, and the parents helping the parents, you know.
All right, so giving them tools early in life to perhaps make, give them a proper chance at adulthood. All right, in the couple of minutes that we have left, can I ask you, if, you know, we have people watching who are persons with disabilities who are interested perhaps to try out for the next National Evelympics competition or even maybe qualify to the International Evelympics, where can they go to get more information? What can they do?
They will contact us, Malaysian Council for Rehab.
All right.
And come and visit our website. Or even when we do awareness campaign for this year, come to the venues, and we are also going to have participation in the carnival, which is going to be organized by Ministry of Human Resources, so that we have a space or a booth to showcase Abilympics.
Okay, I hope you learned something new today, not just Olympics or Paralympics, but also Abilympics, the Olympics of Abilities. Thank you both for being on the show today. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you very much.
I'm Melissa Idris for The Future is Female. I will be back with you next week for another episode of The Future is Female. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.